Hello, beautiful people. Welcome to What's Your Story, where we get to hear and get inspired by stories of women who have made and are making remarkable strides in their various science, technology, engineering, and mathematics fields. Hope you are ready for today's episode. We are honored today to have Laura Lepore as our guest. I just hope I had the name right.
Yes.
Laura has a background in electrical and electronic engineering. She is into female genital mutilation, into STEM advocacy. She is an EA woman in energy, a solar electricity enthusiast, and a 2018 Student Energy Innovation Challenge finalist. Thank you for joining us today, Laura, and how is Kenya?
Thank you for that introduction, Elizabeth. Some of them I'm just like, wow, by the way, that's me. But thank you. Kenya is nice. Well, we have, it's kind of rainy, cloudy outside, but all is well. It just stopped raining, so I thank the Lord for that, because the audio would have been something else. Thank you for having me, first off, because I've seen your work and it's phenomenal. I don't know how a woman did that, but it is possible, and I'm so honored to be here with your Glee Girl initiative, and let me not get into that right now, but it's coming. It's coming. So it's a real honor to be on this podcast. I've seen the caliber of the women that you interview, and I'm just so honored to be here. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Laura, too. Thank you. So I guess we start with our very first question. So since you are into electrical and electronic engineering, how did that, the love for that, develop?
Well, my story is not direct. You know, most kids, when you ask them, what do you want to be? I want to be a pilot. I want to be a doctor. But when I was young, I wanted to be a businesswoman. And that is just so general. Almost, you know, nowadays, starting a business, no matter how small, is not very difficult. So that was very general. And so after high school, I was like, I want to be a vet, because I was very timid, and believe you me, I was an introvert. And so I didn't really like the setting of interacting with people and, you know, so much drama and everything. So I wanted to be a vet, because in my head, you know, it's just after high school, so you think what you see on TV is the real deal. Yeah. You'll be dealing with puppies, you'll be dealing with kittens all the time. They're so cute. And then I came home for the holidays, and then I told my grandma I want to be a vet. Then she's like, ah, good, because our cows here, they really need to be looked at. And I'm like, okay, that's not the vet I want to be. But so it really got me thinking, and it opened up my eyes to veterinary services needs a medical background, and it's more of medicine than even cuddling with puppies and kittens. And so I was like, me and medicine really don't mix. So what's the second best option? Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, dealing with machines instead of people on a daily basis is also something. So I really considered engineering, because my father is a civil engineer. Yeah. And he'd take me to his sites where he was building. And I was like, this dust is too much. I don't know these cement things. I don't like the sand, and you have to mix them. And okay, not civil engineering, but I really liked the aspect of building something from the ground up, or solving a problem, you know, bridges solve a problem, roads solve a problem. So I was really into the problem solving, you know, kind of space. And then I looked up at engineering, electrical engineering. Then I'm like, wow, actually I saw a video of someone holding a gadget in their hand, and then a hologram shot up, you know, those movies where you're in a room and then there's a hologram of the boss in the center of the room. So I really liked that aspect. I'm like, wow, electrical engineering really looks cool. So I after doing some research, I looked it up and I saw that, okay, some of the courses, the units didn't make sense. As in the name, there was something called quantum physics. And I'm like, oh no, am I going to do quantum physics? So I took a leap of faith and I was like, I want to be an engineer. That one, I'm sure. If it's the type of engineering, then let me go for electrical and electronic engineering. And that is how I found myself doing triple E, as we call it here.
Amazing. Yeah. Just for the journey. Just to land on one particular thing.
Yeah, it was a long journey, but finally I made it there.
So tell us, how has your journey been so far in female genital mutilation to STEM advocacy? Because that was one thing that drew me to get to you, because I was like, female genital mutilation. Let me get to speak to this lady to get to know how she's doing there and then her journey so far, and you know. Yeah, so can you please share that with us?
Oh, no problem. Well, yeah, it's been a journey, because all journeys have, you know, it's never a straight road. It has curves and corners and bumps and potholes. So some significant strides since I joined the FGM to STEM advocacy were last year, particularly in August, where, okay, here in Kenya, FGM is common in certain tribes. We have different tribes, like in Ghana. So actually my tribe, I'm Maasai, and FGM is practiced in my tribe. And there are other Maasais in different parts of Kenya and the border for Tanzania. Another county there, we call them counties, or they used to be provinces, but now they're counties. So we had a workshop in one of those Maasai counties along the border in Tanzania. The county is called Kajiado County. And so I went there to basically, my goal was to change a mindset, because not every girl grew up like I grew up. I didn't grow up in Kenya, actually. I grew up in Botswana. That's where my dad worked. So the whole family relocated there. And then after high school, I came to Kenya to do my undergraduate. So I really tried to change their mindset the way mine was changed. But you see, they didn't have that experience that I had, you know, going with your father to the site or bonding with your family, you know. There, it's more of a traditional way of life. The girl is for the mother, the boy is for the father, you see. So girls do what they're told that girls are supposed to do. They're supposed to fetch water, they're supposed to fetch firewood, they're not allowed to make decisions. Their place is basically in the kitchen, you know. And so I went there with the mindset of, if I can change one girl's mindset into, as she is an electrical engineer, I too can become an electrical engineer. That is what, that's basically what I'm trying to do with the FGM to STEM advocacy. And so, yeah, the different challenges, for example, the language barrier. I don't know Kimasai. It's called Kimasai here because I grew up elsewhere. And so they speak Maasai. And so when I went there, I was really careful not to say I'm Maasai, because they would start speaking Maasai to me and they'll be like, what kind of Maasai doesn't know her language? So it was really a nice, fun experience being among your people, but you know, them not knowing who you are, because sometimes it's easier to trust a stranger, you see. So what we did there, we realized some of the challenges were peer pressure, because some girls, even though you can see that they're interested in what you're saying about STEM, their friend will nudge them and be like, you're not seriously considering this, right? Yeah. You know, you find, you know, even though there's that one who really wants to believe you, there's always someone next to them to be like, stay in your place, this isn't for you. So that is one of the problems that we encountered there, because I'd be talking to the girls and you find that there's this group and because someone wants to look cool, and they were teenagers, actually it was a class 8 pupils, because someone wants to look cool, they do what their group is doing, or their group influences them to do something. So you'd find that some girls were really not, they want to talk, but they can't. And then also another challenge in this advocacy is the number of people advocating for FGM to STEM. So I'm doing FGM to STEM because I want it to be an alternative rite of passage. FGM here is a rite of passage. Once you're a certain age, you have to undergo FGM because it's culture or tradition. And so I want to introduce STEM as an alternative. Instead of FGM, take this girl to a physics fair or science fair, or, you know, enroll her in some STEM projects, or, you know, do some field trips with her to industrial areas, you know, just as an alternative to FGM, because we find that because of this, girls from those minority communities here in Kenya are really not represented in the STEM field. You find most engineers are guys. And even if the guy is from the minority, there's no counterpart, there's no balance, you see? So that's really what I'm going for. And speaking of which, I have, if you'd allow me to share some pictures from that workshop, if possible. I don't know, this is your time, Elizabeth.
Oh, you can. It's your time too, so you just feel free to share with us.
Yeah, so this is one of several. And one thing I noticed, even as I was talking, was that the boys in the class were really more interested in what I had to say than the girls.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, and I was like, why is this so? I'm a girl, I'm talking to girls. Why is this so? And so, but it wasn't a bad experience. Actually, it was expected because, you see, guys like breaking things and fixing things that they're not supposed to fix. And so it was expected, but I really liked the look on the girls' faces when you would approach them on a one-on-one basis, because maybe most teachers or most parents sit you down as a group and expect you to, you know, get, you know, listen as a group, but you know, at some point we need individual input, right?
Yeah.
And making decisions for yourself. But it really was a nice workshop. I really enjoyed myself. The kids were fun. And then in the evening we had a contest. It was kind of a fashion show or something. And some girls modeled. Ooh, you should have seen those moves. I was like, oh my goodness. Even the boys participated, and we sang and we danced. It was really a really nice experience. And as you can see, the man on the left on that picture is the founder of FGM to STEM.
Okay.
His name is James Ngomeli. Yeah, he actually started the Women in Energy, East Africa Community of Women in Energy movement. And so this was the first workshop that we did. It was in August last year. And then we started planning for another one. Corona came. So
Corona.
Corona is, oh no. So we're really looking forward to the new normal and coming back bigger and better.
Interesting journey so far. Terms of FGM and STEM advocacy. So you've made mention of East Africa Women in STEM. Could you tell us what you do with them and what is EA Women in STEM about?
East Africa Women in Energy, East African Community of Women in Energy is a group of women who are already in the energy space. Like, we have mechanical engineers, we have even finance people, because you need to finance energy projects. We have different things, different women who are in different sectors of the energy space. So what I do with them was basically writing articles. I wrote a feature in WhatsApp magazine. It's an energy magazine, so I wrote a feature on FGM to STEM and the council that we were opening at that time. Also, I did the workshop that was part of my role. Other things I did interviews. For instance, there's another picture. I don't know why I have so many pictures. I'm so photogenic. There's another picture of myself and he's the CEO and managing director of Kenya Electricity Transmission Company. And I was fortunate enough to be there as we were interviewing him for a feature in our WhatsApp magazine. Oh. And it was such an honor being there with, you know, the greats. You know, and I really, that's basically what I do in women in energy. Yeah.
So as a renewable energy enthusiast, okay, so what about solar electricity excites you? Because I read you are really into solar electricity in terms of renewable energy. So where does the whole excitement about solar come from?
Well, it's, first off, if you are African, because you're African, Elizabeth, solar energy is free. And I don't know about you, but I like free things. Mm-hmm. If you tell me that I'm getting a phone for free, hallelujah, praise the Lord, I will accept. Mm-hmm. And so with solar energy, I really love the aspect that it's using solar, because solar is free. And we are very fortunate in Africa to receive the most percentage of solar in the world per year. You know, so using that aspect of something that you get, whether you like it or not, every day, it is just mind-blowing. And so now we have solar home systems that you can base practically anywhere in rural areas, in urban areas, and we have the solar lanterns. And these solar home systems and solar products are really getting cheaper by the day, because the market is really growing and more people are looking to venture into that. Because I don't know about Ghana, but in Kenya, our electricity bills are through the roof. There are incentives, but they really favor the industrial sector, where if you use more than, say 100 megawatts, then you get a discount or something. But for the common citizen, buying tokens or paying your electricity bill at the end of the month, that can get really costly. So the aspect of solar really, really is for everyone. Whether you have money or not, it really solves your electricity problems. Also, apart from it being used elsewhere, anywhere, other things like the phone chargers, nowadays they're solar phone chargers. And where I work currently, it's called Solar E-Cycles. We make solar powered tricycles, where there's a solar panel attached at the top and the wheels are actually coupled or linked to the motors. And we have batteries. So the solar actually produces an assist for someone who's pedaling. So there's different solar products and innovations, they're really coming at a very opportune time, because most people, not everyone is rich, you see. So it's really a beautiful aspect that we're using at the best time ever. Also, women, the aspect of women in energy, women are the biggest consumers of energy. If you look at mostly in the rural areas, we use firewood for cooking, paraffin for lighting. Even now in the urban areas, a woman will have her blow dryer, she'll have the TV, the lights, her phone's charging. You know, we just need electricity. So as women being the largest consumers of electricity, I think that it's a space that we can take over as women, that we can really dominate and say that, hey, from the beginning of time, we have been the largest consumers of energy. Maybe not electricity, but energy. And so if we venture that consumption into solar energy, then that would be really, really, really good for us.
Amazing, amazing. So then again on energy, Tabula, how was your experience as a participant of the Student Energy Innovation Challenge 2018?
Well, you're talking about the energy challenge in 2018?
Yeah.
Well, I went there with a wild idea. I went there with a case study for concentrated solar power. What it is, it's like it is solar power, but instead of the conventional photovoltaic panel, we have mirrors that are reflecting solar energy onto a central point. And because they're mirrors, the intensity of the heat. You see how a magnifying glass can set a paper on fire?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is what I went there with the idea of doing, integrating concentrated solar power as opposed to our solar PVs. Because they're mirrors, I should have brought a picture. I really like pictures. I don't know why I didn't bring one for that one.
Fine.
Yeah, so it's different mirrors surrounding a central tower. And at the top of the tower, we have molten salt. Molten salt is really good at retaining heat. And so it heats that molten salt that goes into a chamber of water and makes it steam. And the steam powers turbines, just like in a geothermal plant. And the turbines run and they turn and they make that electromagnetic force in a generator and it generates electricity. And then the steam is cooled and condensed into water. The cold water is then taken back to the top of the tower and the process just the not the cold water, the molten salt after heating the water, it's cooled and then taken back to the top of the tower, and the process just repeats itself. So I wanted to do a case study of that for Kenya because it's a really big thing in Morocco. It's a really big thing in the USA, Japan, China, as in the rest of the world has really embraced that. And so in Kenya, if we can do that because we are along the equator, if we can adapt such a technology as opposed to solar PVs, then in my view, it would be cheaper because you know the panels, solar panels have wear and tear, and they a component can get burnt or something like that. And batteries have a lifespan, and that contributes to our e-waste with time. But with concentrated solar power, we have mirrors, and with nanotechnology, a single drop of water can spread along the mirrors and clean them, and that also saves water. And you can have more productive use with the mirrors because if they're elevated, the land underneath that mirror can be used for shading or can be used for, you can plant some things under there, you know. So that was really the idea that I had for that challenge. And it was really a challenge because that was the first time I had publicly spoken. I think it's
Wow.
called public speaking. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the really first time. And I remember having butterflies in my stomach. I'm like, oh Lord, take me now. And so it was a real challenge. I was a student at that time. It was the first time so many people were looking at me and listening to me like I had a point. And it was really different. And it was a wonderful experience because from there, the only way was up. I started growing in that. And at the event, there were professionals there in the energy space. And so I got to network with them. And I'm still interested in CSP. The dream has not died
Right.
just because after that, I really went into more research and I went into seeing the places where it will be most viable here in Kenya. And I'm really looking for a crack and a point of penetration where I can begin and from there grow that in Kenya. Yeah.
Interesting. Wow. So I think my final question on energy, because how well do you think Africa is doing in terms of renewable energy?
Well, Africa, we are getting somewhere because like it's like I said, we are the continent that receives the most amount of solar energy in the all year round. Yeah. So it's really a place of investment. And right now I can see so many companies from the Western world are coming to invest in Kenya with their renewable energy technologies. So as not only Kenya, but in Africa. So as Africa, we are really ready for e-bikes. We're really ready for hybrids. Nowadays, there are hybrids on the road, and I'm really grateful for that. But it could have come sooner, you know, because most people, I don't know about Ghana. Do you also import secondhand cars and motorcycles?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you see, before they were, you know, they're secondhand now. So today we say that the hybrid is the next big thing. Japan was there 7 years ago, you see. So I think in Africa, renewable energy is really the way to go. And it's really being taken up, but not really by ourselves, by Africans. But we see most people from the Western world are coming to invest their renewable energy projects here. So I would say we are ready. We are ready for renewable energy solutions. And there are so many organizations that are willing to grant startups in that sector. Like I can, nowadays I see grants for e-mobility startups. I see grants for women initiatives like electric lanterns by women for women. I see grants for so many things that are around the renewable energy space, because I also think these people from the Western world are trying to help us, but we can't see that. And also as Africans, we are resistant to change. We are resistant to change. If you tell me today we are going left instead of right, I'm like, why? We've been going right and it's been working for us. So I think that's also a mindset that we have to change. And as you can see, mostly renewable energy solutions are really thriving in rural areas, because that is where your home standalone system would really thrive to charge those phones. You know, where the national grid has not reached, renewable energy is bridging that gap. And I really want to see it as a continent venturing into that in an urban space, not just rural areas. Yeah, let's challenge the national grid for once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now back to our girls. Okay. Mm-hmm. I know you're already in doing something to draw more girls into STEM, but what mm-hmm. can we do differently as women? Because we know that STEM is a male-dominated area. So what can we do besides what we are already doing, okay, as women to draw more girls into STEM-related fields?
Okay, that's a good question. I think as women, we were once girls, and we were also once of the opinion that physics is for boys. And so you'd find most girls have ventured into the medical field or into education, which is good. And I really support them. But we also need girls in the energy space. And so one thing I'd say is we should expose girls to STEM at an early age. When we are growing up, or when we get daughters, we, instead of buying them just the cooking set, we should buy them also, you know, toy radio or toy truck, you know, something to bring them into, you know, STEM at an early age, not just the cooking set or the cleaning, or when you're playing mother, you the mud is the porridge. You see, the mud can also make a building, or it can also build a bridge. You know, you can, we should really introduce those games at an early age, so that when they grow up, they grow up knowing that this is something that my mom has done, my aunt has done, I can do as well. Also, we should have mentorship programs. You know, we should have, like, bring a girl today to work day, where you can bring your child, you can bring your niece, you can bring your neighbor's child to work, and let them see firsthand at the machinery that you're using, or the computers that you're using, or the finance that goes into financing energy projects. And expose them to that at an early age, because it all starts from the mindset. And, you know, when we're young, they say the mind is a sponge and it takes in so much information. Let's feed them with the right information. Finally, I can also add that we should encourage girls through opportunities. Like, we should have schemes that provide scholarships only to girls pursuing STEM projects. Or we should have schemes that offer internships only to girls in the engineering or in the medical or chemical fields, you know, like volunteer work open only to girls, you know. Because if I really... I'm not against the boy child. I'm just saying that the girl child is underrepresented, and we are trying to bridge that gap through so many ways. Yeah, we should just embrace that at a young stage so that in future it's normal to have a girl engineer. It's normal to have a girl in the finance. It's normal to have a girl building something and making, placing orders and ordering people around, you know. Our places will no longer just be the kitchen. It would be everywhere, just like, and we would be equal. Yeah.
Well, thank you. So what practical advice do you have? So now you've spoken about what we can do to help them. Now, what do you have to say to the girls out there who are hoping to venture into STEM or even other fields but are really giving it a second thought? What practical advice do you have for those ladies out
today? I think looking at myself, I'd say I need advice, but you know, from where I stand, I can tell girls that you can do it. You know, it's not something that we should leave for our brothers or our fathers, and you know, they will bring home the paycheck. But at the end of the day, it's about expanding your mind to seeing that you are able beyond what you think you can do. And I'd say that just do it. Just as Nike would say, just do it. Just go for it. Even though it's not engineering, the degree, you can start at a certificate level, grow yourself to diploma. And if that's not for you, then you can venture into another STEM field. There are so many. And until you find where you're really, you know, comfortable with. So I would also say that women are special, regardless of where they come from. Whether your journey started in a village, there are so many women I've met today, and if they tell you their village, I'm like, how did you get to Nairobi? That is so far away. And it just brought the aspect of we are special and we can do it, you know, regardless of where you come from, regardless of what you've been through. That's why it's called the past. From there, you go into the future, and up is a direction. So going up really is an option, and you should take that and grab it with two hands. So if you're a girl out there and you're really looking to venture into STEM, I would say don't be afraid. And yes, there will be opposition. There's so many times where I've said something in a group discussion and it's disregarded, but my male counterpart comes and says the same thing. And I'm like, I just said that. But you know, it happens, and it's not something to discourage you, but look at it as a driving force to prove them wrong and to prove that you also have a say in whatever you do. Finally, I'd like to say I'm spiritual. I don't know about whoever is listening, but for me, God really worked in my life and bringing from one stage to another. Sometimes when results would come out in my undergraduate, I'd cross my fingers and be like, I hope I'm on the pass list. And I've seen, you know, sometimes you just want to pass. You don't care with what grade. But I wouldn't say that that was to be taken for granted. There's so many women that we've started with, that I started studying with, but they didn't see it to graduation. They dropped out for one reason or another. Even men, as in some things happen that you wouldn't complete your journey when you wanted to. So I just say put everything in God's hands and let him direct your steps. Let him take care of you, because at some point we also need a shoulder to cry on. We also need someone to confide in and trust in. And so for me, that worked. And so I would encourage that as well. So if you're a girl in STEM, you can do it. Just do it. Yeah.
Wow. So my lead girl today, I hope you've heard this, or Laura has just said it. She says, as a girl, you are special. If there's anything you want to do it. Just go out there. Just start it. Just do it. You will definitely find your way through, right?
Yeah.
So Laura, thank you so much for coming on the show once again.
Thank you for having me. This is as much an honor for me. You have no idea. I went to Google and I was like, how do you say hello in Twi? And I saw it's Ago. Is it Ago?
Yes, Ago.
Yes. I wanted to use that, but I was so excited to enter into the discussion. I forgot. So Ago here.
We say amen.
Amen. Yes. Thank you for having me, Elizabeth. I really envy your work. I really envy what you're doing. And one, I have a question for you. You've been asking so many questions.
All right.
I have a question for you.
All right.
So I really want to know, your profile as well is phenomenal. And how did you transition from a non-technical into a technical background? And I see that you also have Eliza Events and Glee Child and so many things going on. As in, is it possible, you know, are you okay? As in, how did you do that?
Oh, so I'll say I'm very okay. And I would say it's been great grace all along. And I've just been going by what you said, that just started. So it's like I have a dream or I feel like I should do this and I just start. Okay. And God has seen me through every now and then, because at times I get so tired and I'm like, girl, who sent you? But I feel like, no, this is the time. You see, this is the time. And he has given me grace to be able to do it. So I have to do it. And do it to the glory of God. So at times I look at my profile and I even ask myself that question. I'm like, how are you able to do this? Everything, how are you able to? So it's been grace and then a lot of discipline and a lot of hard work, God as well. So that's
wow.
Me this
wow. Oh my, thank you so much. I love the work that you're doing with girls and I really, really hope that it expands and that you really grow, because I love how you're bringing the girls into this space and acknowledging them that they are bigger than what others say they are or where they are. So thank you so much. And thank you for having me here. I really look forward to more interactions with you, maybe on other platforms or this one, if you would call me back. You know, I'm just putting that out there, you know. But thank you once again. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Dean. Thank you. Right, dearies, I hope you've been inspired by today's episode. You've heard it all from Laura. Laura shared her story with us. So once again, I am Elizabeth Ameke. Thanks for joining me on Watch Your Story. Do well to leave your comments and suggestions after listening to this podcast. Okay, don't forget that. And yes, share the link as well. Catch you same time next week as we bring you another amazing woman in STEM. I'm hoping to have my co-host with me next week, my co-host Patricia with me next week. So have an amazing week and it's bye for now. Bye.